We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey now, Semper Fi. Welcome into this Thursday edition of Sports Talk. Tim Zimmer at Master Control. Big time, Timmy Zim. Zach Strief, the voice of the Saints, former Saints offensive lineman. Filling in for the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. Zach, before we get going, you got any good impersonations of Bobby, man?
You know, it's funny. I was gonna interrupt you halfway through your opener and just pretend like I was Bobby, but I let it go. I was trying to be appropriate. You know, I'm just getting back into this.
That would have been par for the course, and right. I'd have felt right at home. But good to have you in the studio, man, for 3.5 hours. We'll hand things off to LSU baseball. They were moved back from a 6 o'clock first pitch down there in Baton Rouge to 8 p.m. Pregame coverage starts at 7:30. We're going to kind of take another bite at the apple, if you will, the Saints' schedule. We obviously rehearsed it or went through it last night. Zach, Deuce, and Bobby, you heard their takes. But we're going to go kind of quarter by quarter throughout this thing, Zach, as we get going. But first, before we get going, I want to play something for you that might have piqued your interest last week with Sean Payton. Any retort for your head coach?
First of all, I love how tickled Bobby was by that, right? He thought he was so funny, Bobby. He's just laughing right along there. Yeah, listen, I mean, the good thing is I get to question, you know, Sean's decisions constantly, right? So I got that going for me now. I get to call him out and, you know, I get to talk about him on air way more than he gets to talk about me. So it's almost appropriate, you know, that for once he gets a call and complain about me. I've been complaining about him for years, so.
So you consider yourself well ahead of this one, right?
I'm way ahead of this one. You know what? Sean can call in again tonight. He could take all the shots he wants. He's still way behind. And I plan on having a lot more years of having a microphone while he's down there working, you know?
Joe Person, covering the Panthers for The Athletic, will join us at 4:20. We got Teron Armstead, though.
Yeah, we got Big T calling in.
Teron Armstead at 4:35, New Orleans Saints offensive tackle. Roy Cummings, Buccaneers insider for Pewter Report or PewterPirates.com. Breaking down the NFC South schedule also with D. Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Journal-Constitution. So we're going to look at the schedules for the NFC South foes for the Saints. And, man, right off the bat, the Buccaneers got it rough. 49 days they're going to go in a stretch without a home game. That's insane, Zach.
That's pretty rough. Yeah, they're going to L.A., then to New Orleans, then they're flying to England to play the Panthers, and they get a week off, and they're going to Tennessee and then out west to Seattle. That's so awful.
There's a sinful laugh there.
Oh, that is so awful. I mean, five away games in a bye is so brutal.
If you're a Bucs player looking at that, what are you thinking?
It's all like the conspiracy theories you can muster up. I mean, there's just like – there's no reasoning that couldn't be avoided, and I'm sure that the schedule makers are going to go, you guys are the ones that wanted a home game every year in London, but my gosh, I mean, it's so bad.
That's pretty brutal.
It's bad.
The Panthers, though, they're going to do Panther things no matter who they're playing with. They got the Rams in week one, and we were talking about before we came on the air how good the Panthers typically start a season.
I love it. I feel like they win the first game every year. I mean, they're always good out of the gates. And you get Atlanta all the way out in you know, on the East Coast, or I mean, get the Rams all the way out on the East Coast. Like, I love how that one sets up. If Cam Newton could throw the ball 30 yards, which he couldn't do last year. So hopefully he's recovered at least for the first game, because that's going to be the competition again in the NFC. It's going to be Saints and Rams. Those are the two best teams in the NFC. And you assume that it's going to kind of go that direction again. And so, yeah, any loss we can get from L.A. Is a loss that we should be taking.
Yeah, but then again, that makes that week two matchup, maybe the Rams have a little – they're going to be a little bit more desperate if they do lose that game against the Panthers.
I mean, there's no way that the Rams can have more motivation in that game than the Saints. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Considering how everything worked out, for sure.
Yeah, right.
I'd say so. That's the one that I'm sure – and the players aren't going to tell you this, and coaches aren't going to tell you this, but they're circling that one, that week two matchup, the Saints. They're putting that on the schedule, and they're highlighting it, circling it with a red Sharpie, blue Sharpie, pink highlighter, what have you. I mean, they're not going to publicly admit that, Zach.
They might publicly admit that. I mean, I know Aqib Talib said, yeah, bring it on. We'll take them the first week. He's getting them the second, which is close. But, yeah, there's no question that there's games on a schedule that you circle, and you don't talk about it when you get to training camp. You don't talk about it through camp. But I guarantee you, when that Houston Texans game ends in that locker room after that game, that's getting brought up. That's mm-hmm. the first thing that's getting brought up about that game, is there's some unfinished business there, and we've got some work to do.
That's obviously a 3:25 kickoff. How many times do you think we'll see the replay of Nickell Robey-Coleman and P-laying Tommy Lee Lewis before that game, leading up to that game? How many times during the week?
Another 2,000.
That's the over and under.
On top
2,000
times. On top of the 20,000.
So Saints fans, don't watch TV that week leading up to the Saints-Rams game.
So bad.
Yeah, looking at the Falcons as well. Did you see their terrible troll job? I know I brought it up to you last night, but did you actually see where they were running through the entire schedule? And is this like the new in vogue thing where I saw the Raiders going through their schedule with the receiver Amari Cooper, and they at one point they were holding a kitty cat for the Lions, and they were like everybody's kind of trying to one up everybody on a troll job. And I like the Saints approach of just hey. We're just going to go business as usual. Here's our schedule. But did you see what the Falcons actually did?
I did. You're talking about like the flags, the Game of Thrones theme.
Game of Thrones theme.
I saw it. And they put our flag up as the Aints.
Oh, I didn't see that.
So actually there was a tweet today. Stan Verrett from ESPN and a known Saints fan made a comment about it. And I thought to myself, maybe they were just thinking, that it's the Saints, the New Orleans team that – ain't ever lost a Super Bowl after being up 28-3, or maybe the Saints that ain't lost to the Falcons in a long time, or maybe the New Orleans ain'ts that ain't have as near as much of an issue filling their stadium up for every home game. So there's a lot of things that we ain't when compared to the Atlanta Falcons. And I'll tell you one thing you got tonight. You don't have a Falcons lover in the guest seat over here.
Oh,
we got rid of Bobby, and that drives me nuts. He can get out of here with that stuff.
He didn't love the Falcons.
They took him hunting one time, and then he talks about them like they're like.
But you
know,
Bobby's
boys.
Easily bought. Come on.
Yeah, you're right.
Bobby's easily right. bought. And if you've noticed, there's a lot more elbow room and a lot more oxygen in the room. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. You remember that?
That's an old one, yeah.
You remember that?
That's from way back.
That was when you were still playing.
I came in and filled
in for a little bit.
It's pretty amazing. You guys, hold on. It's like a bunch of hoarders around here.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got a lot of audio of a lot of things. So,
during the season, I would say on the pros and
– Fans and the pros.
Fans and the pros. On
there you go.
Thing, I appreciate you. we sang consistently, and apparently – when you listen to the stream of it, there is no they're not allowed to play the music.
And so you guys singing?
It's just raw voice. So there's a bunch of those floating around. I'm sure some of those aren't good.
Oh, wow. Okay, we got to dig those up. Yeah. Which, by the way, does Deuce know music?
No, Deuce has zero musical knowledge whatsoever. Deuce, I mean, Deuce, he's in show choir. So he did a little bit in show choir.
Carnegie Hall. Remember that.
But yeah, he's like a rhythm and blues guy. But if you get in like anything outside, like, usually there's just certain songs and certain musicians that you just know. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't know who's singing it, you're like, I know this song. He'll blow your mind now. We played a bunch of stuff during the season that he was like, I don't know who that is. And it's like, that's, Beautiful Day by U2. There's no way you have not heard that song before.
Of course.
It's impossible.
If you've been walking around this planet.
Right. Like, it's like the promo song for, for 800 sporting events a year. Like, there's no question at some point you've just heard the song.
Right.
But no, I guess he tunes it out.
All right. Looking at the first four games of the Saints schedule, we're trying to break these down in quarters, right? So what would be the most important, our toughest quarter for the Saints? You talked about that first quarter. At home against Houston on Monday night, back-to-back West Coast trips at Los Angeles Rams, at Seattle Seahawks, and then home again on Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys. I think we would both be in agreement there. That is a tough stretch. But I want to point to the stretch there in November after the bye week. Atlanta at home, Buccaneers on the road. Carolina at home. Back to Atlanta on a Thursday night, Thanksgiving night on the road. That stretch right there, while I get it, the first four is important because you want to get off to a fast start, but you can't win anything without winning your division. So if I was answering our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, what's the most important quarter of the Saints season, I would put that quarter right there, the third quarter, just because it's divisional opponents, Zach.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we used to break down by quarters. That's how Sean used to kind of break down the year is, hey, we got to go, you know, we have to go 3-1. You know, we would like to go 4-0 and a quarter, and we kind of got away from it and started going week to week. But it's a good way to break the schedule down. And obviously, at first glance, you look at the schedule, the opening quarter is pretty brutal. I mean, it's a tough. That's four good football teams, two on the road. So yeah, we'll talk about the quarters.
Joe Person, covering the Carolina Panthers for The Athletic, at Joe Person on Twitter. Joe, we were just talking about how the Panthers just seemingly come out the gate every year strong. So we're pulling for the Panthers, ironically, to beat the Rams in week one.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. They've got that tough week one test, but then I thought the rest of their early portion of the schedule, really the first 2 months, I thought looked like a lot of winnable games. Now, obviously, we're sitting here in mid-April talking about this. So much will be dependent on the health and the shoulder of Cam Newton, but yeah, I mean, they play a lot of the AFC South teams. Ron Rivera is like 7-1 against the AFC South since he's been in Carolina. They've got a couple other, pretty decent games at home. Even their road games are like San Francisco and Arizona. So the back half gets a lot saltier, though, including those two with the Saints.
Joe, you mentioned Cam Newton and his shoulder. Has any word come out of Charlotte with the health of him? You know, Saints, we got to see him in his last game, and it was abundantly obvious that he was not healthy and really probably didn't belong on the field that night, really struggled throughout the game. Has there been any reports out about kind of where he's at?
You know, not much. The only thing, Ron Rivera yesterday, we got Rivera and Marty Herney for a pre-draft press conference, and Rivera said that all the reports are still good medically that he's received. He is not throwing yet. I don't think that's necessarily a surprise. And Rivera, you know, I won't say this is like a cautionary tale, but the one thing he has refused to do is give any kind of timeline. Now, he says he doesn't want to do it because he doesn't want, you know, people in May saying, well, wait a minute, you said he was going to be throwing in May, but they're taking a very cautious approach. I've not really heard any, you know, like anything in terms of setbacks or anything like that. But having said all that, guys, this is his second shoulder surgery now the last three off seasons. You know, I think it would be prudent for the Panthers to draft a quarterback this year. They have not drafted a quarterback in the 8 years since they took Cam number one. I think this is the year. I don't mean in the first round. It wouldn't shock me necessarily if they went after like a Will Greer or a Jarrett Stidham in the second or third rounds just to have an insurance policy.
Joe Person covering the Carolina Panthers for The Athletic. Quickly, in about 30 seconds, I know this is going to be a roll-your-eye kind of deal, but what would you say a record prediction for Carolina would be?
I'll go 9-7. I don't know. You know, this is a team that, as you guys know, they stumbled into the second half of the season last year. You know, frankly, there was concerns whether Ron Rivera would keep his job under new owner David Tepper. He begins the year squarely on the hot seat. I mean, this seems like a team that could be decent. I'm not ready to think that they're going to be gangbusters, though.
Joe Person covering the Panthers for The Athletic. Thanks for the time. Short and sweet, man.
All right, guys. See you.
All right, our CBS and local news headlines. We'll be back with Terron Armstead, New Orleans Saints offensive tackle, next here on Sports Talk. Zach Strief, Christian Garrick here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Zach Strief in for the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick, one of his former teammates, joining us now, Terron Armstead, Saints left tackle. Terron, how you doing? Thanks for the time.
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good. We've got the big guy across from me. But, of course, when you're with me, everybody's big. I'm like 5'6". Anyway, Terron, you guys report for off-season conditioning on Monday, kind of starting. Just talk about kind of turning the page, the start of a new season, if you will.
It's coming quick, man. It's coming quick. The season is around the corner. Schedule just dropped, so it's almost here now. We all report Tuesday. Everybody, I'm sure, is looking forward to seeing each other and getting this season rolling.
Now, Teron, I'm going to start out this line of questioning. When are you going to change your phone number out of this Illinois number? What's with the Illinois phone number?
I've had this same number since my freshman year of high school.
I had my number for a long – I mean, I didn't have a cell phone when I was in high school. I'm older than you, but, I mean, you got to change. You got to move on, you know?
I'm good, man. It's just I want to keep that consistency, you know? That's the line of business we in.
Just sounds like one foot in, one foot out. I don't know. I'm getting nervous about that. But, Teron, you know, we talked last night when we were talking about the schedule getting released, about how offensive linemen look at the schedule a little bit differently. I know I certainly did. You kind of look down and circle the defensive ends rather than the opponent. So when the schedule comes out and you take a look at this early on, the first four-game stretch, it's probably one of those where it matches up. You got four very good football teams, but a whole bunch of good defensive lines in the first four games. Is there one that sticks out to you you're excited about?
I mean, all of them are. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be tough, but it's going to be exciting for sure. Great offense, great defense. Returning to start this season, especially opening up with Houston. We know what their D-line can do and how they've been a force around the NFL for a while now. And we take pride up front of being a unit to protect and make running lanes. So that'll be a great way to start the season.
Teron, be honest with me here. I know that week 2 is probably circled, huh?
Man, we gonna take this thing 1 week at a time, man. We trying to do something.
He thought he had you.
We got big goals.
He thought he had you.
Nah.
I knew better. I just thought I'd try, you know.
No, we're gonna take this thing 1 game at a time.
All right. So let me ask you this one. So a few years ago, we played the Houston Texans, and it ruined my reputation with kids throughout my hometown because there's a couple sound bites of J.J. Watt talking trash to me. One of those. He screams, "You asked for it," and I got blamed for that, but I'd like for you to set the story straight that it was actually you that got beat on that play.
That was me, 100%. It was me. I was trash-talking with him from across the line. The worst, he was over Zach.
Which,
and,
just for the record, is the worst possible thing.
Wait, so
he's talking trash to the guy that I got to block.
Teron, that's not fair, man.
I was actually telling him to come over to my side, though, because I was like – so we was arguing, and then we had a play where I go to right tight end, so I'm on the side of Zach. And during the week, this guy was supposed to be lined up somewhere that he wasn't on Sunday. So I took a bad step, and by the time I got my hands on him, he was gone. Zach tried to save me. He dove. So that's how Zach ended up in the picture. He dove to save me. JJ got the sack and hopped up on, "You asked for it." I wanted to kill him.
All right, well, it's good. Maybe you'll get an opportunity there in week 1 to do that. But
I'll be asking for him to come over again.
I like that. You see, Teron is good because Teron wants to play those guys. I always said I don't get paid extra for blocking the really good ones, right? Like, you give me your backup, I'm good. I don't need any of that action. But Teron's more into that kind of stuff. So how about this one, Teron? You got the Dallas Cowboys Sunday Night Football. Obviously that loss last year in Dallas, and another game that you know, from an offensive line standpoint, you feel like there's some unfinished business there.
Yeah. For me personally, any time that the year before I had a game or a few plays that I didn't feel – that I feel like somebody got the best of me, I'm always looking forward to either the next play or the next season. If we play them again, I kind of lock in and hone in on those guys and try to not have a repeat performance. I like to make those kind of my best games of the year, if possible. So that Dallas would be one of them. I didn't play that game, unfortunately. But just didn't like the way that they came and all the side talking and all that. Extremely talented team, extremely talented D-line. But we don't back down from anybody. So that'll be another fun game, fun challenging game, but we'll be up for it.
Saints left tackle Teron Armstead here on Sports Talk. How's your health, Teron?
Doing well, man. Doing real well. Down in Dallas training. I'll get back to New Orleans Monday.
Teron, when you look at Marcus Davenport, a guy that I think you can break down pretty good and explain, how'd you see his progression as his rookie season unfolded?
Impressive. Extremely impressed with him. He started off training camps just trying to understand his lane and where did he fit, and had an injury during training camp that kind of took away from his experience and time to catch up and get fully acclimated into the NFL. But he just took it. He took it a day at a time, a week at a time, and daily progression. And this guy is he has everything to be whatever he wants to be in his league. He'll be a handful for sure. For me in training camp, I know we'll be ready to be taking on those bull rushes and any other move he comes with. But I'm excited for him, and I think he's going to do some great things for our team.
Teron, the retirement of Max Unger this offseason. One, I mean, what was it a surprise for you? Did you know it was coming? And also, have you gotten a chance to speak with Nick yet, who the Saints signed out of Minnesota to seemingly replace him? Although there's some pretty good options sitting on the roster right now.
Yeah, Max's retirement did come as a surprise to me. I mean, you know, Zach, Max's been talking about retirement for the last 3 years.
The day I met him.
That's the way he dealt. That's the way he dealt with everything. When he finally did, someone texted me, like, Max retired. I'm like, I haven't heard anything. And so he called me like 3 minutes later, and he's like, I'm done, dude. I'm like, oh, man. So he just told me everything, what he was going through, and how he came to the decision. And I'm happy for the guy. He's had an amazing career. He's a brother for life. I love Max. Can't say enough things about him. Fearless leader. So it'll be tough, you know, losing a guy like Max out of the locker room, off the field. And Nick put us all in the group text and just reached out to everybody, and we chatted for a little while in the group text a couple of days after he was signed. I haven't talked to him over the phone yet, but I'm looking forward to talking to him and meeting him Tuesday.
Teron Armstead, Saints left tackle. Teron, did you see the Atlanta Falcons troll job that they did for you guys, or no, on Twitter?
I did. Yeah, someone sent it to me, and I did. I saw that. I started to chime in on Twitter, but I didn't even go there with them.
Yeah, I got you. It ain't worth it. Don't do it. Hey, Tia, I wanted to let you know, too. I got a text came in and said to keep your 618 CC High. Do you know CC High?
Cahokia Comanche.
All right, there you go. Just wanted to let you know you got a fan on here of your area code. That makes one. The rest of us are waiting for you to get that 504.
Why are you worried about him? What his area code is?
I don't want him. Maybe he's like trying to, you know, get out of town. I don't know. I want some commitment. I want him to make commitment to me.
I gotta keep that 618, man.
All right, buddy.
Teron Armstead, we'll let you run, man. Thanks.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, T.
Saints
appreciate
left
it,
tackle
buddy.
Teron Armstead. More sports talk continues here on WWL. Zach Street, the voice of the Saints here on Sports Talk. Why not play it when we got him in the house? Filling in for the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Some pretty bad weather coming through our area right now. We got Chris Franklin at the Channel 4 Weather Center. And Chris, what are we experiencing right now?
Well, we're getting the kind of first line of a couple of lines moving through. So far, at least around the city, it's been not too bad. Most of the severe weather has been on the North Shore and into Mississippi. Now, we do have kind of a secondary line that's developing out over Baton Rouge and kind of further building down to the south. We're likely going to see that move over us probably in the next couple of hours, the city, North Shore as well. So as this first line is kind of pushing out, we still have a second line moving, will be moving in later on. Now, this secondary line doesn't look nearly as strong as the first, but still some gusty winds, heavy rainfall, and lightning will accompany this secondary boundary.
And so we're not out of the worst of it, right? This is just the beginning. And when do we expect maybe some of the worst, whether it's here in the city or, look, a large chunk of our audience is over there on the North Shore and into Mississippi?
Well, you know, this actually is possibly, at least the way it's looking right now, this was the worst of it. With the folks on the North Shore getting kind of the brunt of it, more so than the South Shore. That was the worst, and a lot of that is pushing now into southern Mississippi, southwest Mississippi. We do have a couple of warnings that are in effect for the Hattiesburg area right now. Now, a second line that's kind of forming from around Amite down to Baton Rouge and farther south toward New Iberia. There are some heavy storms with it, but so far nothing that is indicating it's going to be severe. However, that risk is still there for the rest of the evening and until later on tonight.
Chris, sounds like it wasn't as bad as first predicted.
Not as bad now. A lot. It's funny, the update from the forecasts were calling for more of a focus on the North Shore and in Mississippi, and sure enough, that's exactly where we have seen most of the tornadic-type storms, the real severe storms. Most of them did form north of the city.
Over at the Weather Center, WBL TV, Chris Franklin joining us now here on Sports Talk. And Chris, LSU baseball scheduled for an 8 p.m. first pitch in Baton Rouge. Are they going to be pretty safe to get that going at 8 o'clock? Could they face a delay again?
Well, you know, 8 o'clock, by that point, I think if there's anything going on in Baton Rouge, it might be a few little lingering showers. They've got some storms over the Capitol right now, but those are going to be moving. They are moving now. So I think by 8, might be a wet field, might be some wet seats out there, but it looks like they'll probably get off without a problem.
Chris, the Saints schedule came out last night. What's the Saints record going to be?
Well, I can't forecast that far in the future.
All right, well played. Chris, thanks. We'll check in with you if anything else develops weather-wise.
Absolutely.
All right, this is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFM.com. Zach Street, the voice of the Saints, alongside here on Sports Talk till 7:30. We'll hand things off to the LSU Sports Radio Network for Game 1 of LSU in Florida. Tonight, kind of a turnaround series for the Tigers. Also banged up, but Mikhail Hilliard will get the start on the hill for the Tigers. We'll talk a little LSU baseball at 6:20 with Doug Thompson, color analyst for the LSU Sports Radio Network. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. What's the most important quarter of the Saints' season? You look at that first quarter, they got Houston at home, back-to-back road trips at Los Angeles, at Seattle, then Dallas. And then it gets a little dicey as well when you consider that stretch from October 13th through the 20th, where they got back-to-back road games against two salty defenses, Zach and the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Chicago Bears in particular. The Jaguars are a team I think that Doug Marrone's going to have righted. They're going to fix their ailments. In particular, they got Nick Foles this year in the offseason. So they had a down year a year ago, but I think that's going to be another tough matchup for the Saints.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville's certainly defensively really talented. The front seven on that team is really good. Jalen Ramsey's one of the best cornerbacks in football. I think that secondary really kind of had a letdown last season, but the problems on that team are offensive, and certainly I think they recognized it, went out and made the deal for Nick Foles. And you know, I still think there's a lot of problems on that offense. I don't think they have playmakers on the outside. I think they're going to struggle there. I think that the offensive line last year was decimated by injury, so they couldn't run the football, and I think that team has to run the football. And I think if you look at who's at the top of that pyramid with Doug Marrone and help me out from the and Coughlin, Tom Coughlin,
yeah.
They want to run the football.
Yeah, those are two old-school guys.
Yeah, and they didn't have the guys to do it with last year. But if that team gets healthy and comes in with the right mindset, that's going to be a really physical game in Jacksonville. And then you turn around and head up to Chicago, which is going to be the same deal. Those two knockdown dragouts, that could be, you know, pretty tough games back-to-back for the Saints.
Yeah, Chicago is a team that you're glad you're going there. If you're going to go there, October is not bad. Not a bad month in Chicago. It's not going to be, in all likelihood, you're not going to have 4 feet of snow on the ground and no. Terrible conditions. You're going to have some wind, probably.
It's not going to be. Yeah, you're always going to have wind. It's not going to be cold. And I really think that the Saints now are built so much better for this than teams in the past. And obviously, whenever you talk about the Saints and you're talking about, you know, the Sean Payton, Drew Brees era, there's a lot of those seasons where the Saints didn't play defense and couldn't run the football. I mean, there's a bunch of seasons in there where you'd say, well, they can put up points and they can score because of Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and mm-hmm. they'll make it happen. But that's not the type of game plan you want to walk into that game with. But with the offensive line the Saints have, with the defensive line that the Saints have built, that's a team that cannot beat you through the air. You have a team that can beat you through the air in the Saints, both on the offense and beat you on the ground with the offensive line that they put out. So I think the Saints actually match up really well against the Chicago Bears.
24 hours after the Saints schedule reveal, what do you think are the Black and Gold's biggest challenges in 2019? How many wins do you have the Saints getting in 2019. Over and under from Vegas, 10.5. Zach rolls his eyes, but nonetheless, 10 wins, 11 wins, less than 10 wins, 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Going inside the NFC South in the 6 o'clock hour with Roy Cummings, Buccaneers insider for PewterPirates.com. Zach and Christian here on Sports Talk on WWL, going live on Facebook next here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.